Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 242, being recorded on the 15th of August, 2018, with special guest Alex Uy. I'm Sajid, and on Skype with me, I have Cynthia, Kale, and our special guest, Alex. And as usual, before we get to Alex, let's get a quick rundown on the latest in the Azure space. I know, Kale, you had a few links in there that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I dropped a few in there. The first one is something I was involved in way back early in my career with graphics programming. And so there's a Microsoft Azure at SIGGRAPH 2018 out here. Nice post about that. If anyone's attending the SIGGRAPH, which is a graphics conference, particularly around technology. And so basically a lot of focus on rendering some of these really high-performance computing workloads. And there's a lot of, in the blog post, they kind of talk through some of the partner technology that we've enabled, you know, using Azure for things such as, you know, that animation studios would need for the infrastructure to run, like all those kind of high-end compute scenarios for doing all that compute, as well as like the remote IP solutions from like Teradici and whatnot. So pretty cool. If anyone's attending the SIGGRAPH conference, look us up. Microsoft will be there. There's one on, it's a contest actually. This is the first time I saw this. Maybe they happened before, I just didn't see them on the blog. There's actually an AI idea challenge, which is pretty cool. There's actually prizes and everything like that, so you can get your project featured up there in the AI lab showcase. Again, take a look at that. There's a whole judging thing, and they tell you like how they judge based on what criteria and whatnot. So if you're, I know we've talked about some of the AI components, particularly things like you know, the Cortana services and some of the deep learning stuff on the podcast before. So take advantage of those things. It's pretty cool little public contest going on there.
Yeah, some good prizes too.
Yeah, Surface Books and whatnot. There's one in there from our friend Rob Caron on the, he calls it Azure Source now, which is basically like a recap of a bunch of stuff. Some of these things I think we hit on in the podcast, but certainly a great recap to go through and look for that. He's actually got blockchain stuff in there, so that's awesome. And I think the Azure podcast is actually in there, right in the blog post, so that's pretty awesome that we're directly in the actual blog post, so that's great. And then the last one I had was around... Actually, I had two other ones. One was around Data Factory visual tool support for GitHub integration. So anybody using the Azure Data Factory, which we know is kind of like an ETL type tool to allow you to extract data from a source and, you know, basically do some sort of transform or some sort of changes, massaging of the data, and then, you know, end up in a different destination source potentially, or destination location. And so this one's basically enabling, you know, GitHub as a kind of a first-class citizen there to be used as a repository type that you can kind of pull from. I don't know if you can push to it. I do know, I think you can pull from it. I need to do some looking. I don't know if you guys have played around with that integration yet.
I think it's mostly just for pulling code directly from GitHub.
Yep,
that's a good run-up. And I know there was another one in there that you added about the Yarn cluster in Azure. This is yet another resource manager, which is, I guess, for high-performance computation. They create these, you know, I guess thousands of nodes and process really big amounts of data. And how big? Well, exabytes is the size that we're talking about, which is really big. What's that? A thousand petabytes, or is that what it is? I think it's an exabyte. So so we've been processing that amount of data, and you need a lot of nodes, and you know, there's a block posts and how they did it all in Azure.
50,000 nodes, by the way, was the spec.
Jeez.
On that. That's a compute bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to pay that one. And then, of course, there's I think Evan put this in there. He's not here to talk about it, so I guess we can cover it. Azure Functions 2.0 is coming out, and unfortunately, there are some breaking changes there, and so there's an announcement on that. Just give everybody a heads up as to what's changing, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes and probably get somebody to talk about that in an upcoming episode. I think that's something important because we all know serverless is the way of the future and that Azure Functions is front and center in our serverless platform, so we want to make sure everybody's aware of all the changes that are coming in that area. And this last one actually got Cosmos.com. I wish Kendall was here because she actually had told me about this, and I've been going crazy with it since she told me about it, because essentially everything that you would want to know to learn Cosmos DB and get really good at it, right? Because, you know, there's all sorts of resources, videos, tutorials, labs, and whatnot that are involved in learning and becoming good at Cosmos DB. And it's all in one place. And the product group is actually managing that website, that resource. So definitely recommend you go there. We'll put it in the show notes. It's gotcosmos.com. And really, everything you need to know from soup to nuts to get good at Cosmos DB. All right, sorry, Cynthia, we didn't give you a chance to talk about any of the new updates.
No, we're
going right through them.
I have it pretty much covered, so we're good.
Is there anything that was on top of mind for you that you want to talk about?
What I was looking at was the Azure Functions, that there are going to be some breaking changes. So they recommended people to pin their Azure Functions for now. They validated that all their current Azure Functions are compatible with the new 2.0.
You said pin? Is that what you said?
But yeah, pin to a specific version for now.
Oh, I see. In other words, don't just pull the latest. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, that's useful information. Thank you. All right, so that's a good roundup of all the latest in the Azure space. Let's get to our special guest, Alex. And appreciate you taking the time to join us today, Alex. Talk about something that I know you're very passionate about, but give our listeners a sense for what you do and what kind of drives you on a day-to-day basis in the Azure space.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Vijit. Yes. Hey, guys. My name's Alex. I'm part of the onboarding and growth business within the Azure customer experience team, and we are directly tied into Azure engineering. And I'm a program manager lead. I'm responsible for helping onboard our clients to Azure within the South region. I have peers across the U.S. for both the North and East. So the team that I'm on has been around for about 2 years. And just to give some context around its growth, about this time last year, we had about 13 people. It's a worldwide team. We're focused on the U.S., Western Europe, and portions of Australia, New Zealand. We're not in Southeast Asia yet, and portions of MEA, we're not in there as well. But we had about 13 people last year. As of yesterday, our headcount grew to about 85. So we're definitely seeing a major uptick, obviously, in our clients and customers adopting Azure, right? And we are made up of both program managers and engineers, and we pair up in that fashion when we engage with our customers. We're typically involved remotely, right? So I'll go ahead and provide the link to our site later on. But we have nominations from our field resources, which is our sellers across the various commercial space within Microsoft. We also have the ability for our partners to nominate their customers, right? And as well as customers can nominate themselves. And if you think about it, the main criteria for us is that, you know, our customers have a need, an accelerated need to move, you know, their application, maybe get out of the data center, and really talking through the factors. I think Garner put this in this terms, you know, rehost, rebuild, refactor, re-architect. So along those lines, anything that a customer wants to do from an on-premise perspective to move it into Azure, those are the areas that we work through. right? So you got to have an active paid subscription. You got to have a business need to want to do this at an accelerated fashion. We do look for the propensity to consume roughly about 60K a year, right? So it could be a ramp-up phase where a client may not be pushing that consumption at the beginning, but we really look for about 60K a year once we sort of engage and approve that nomination. And I think I mentioned we are, right now we're only in English-speaking countries for now, but we are looking at piloting in Latin America. We do have various verticals that we work with, health and life sciences, financial services, and the gov space. And we are also looking to potentially expand into China as well. And then as demand grows, we'll go through other countries in EMEA, right? So again, we are, and just this, I'm going to call this out. I know this is an Azure call, but some of the customers may have heard of Fast Track Center or Fast Track for M365 or Office 365. We are a completely different team, okay? We're a completely different organization, different team. So we do sit with Azure Engineering, but we do, it's a similar function from a programmatic perspective, but I just wanted to call that out. So that's basically my team in a nutshell.
That's a great introduction. Thanks, Alex. So I'm just curious though, customers want to engage with you, does it have to be through sellers or can they kind of somehow find you guys directly? How do they make a case that, hey, you know, you should work with us?
Yeah, I mean, typically right now our evangelism efforts have been, you know, as we work through the company, with such a large company, has been through the sellers, right? We work both in the standard commercial groups as well as our inside sales arm, right? But like I said, a customer, we'll have that link on the site, a customer can nominate themselves, quite frankly, right? And it just helps that they have some sponsorship from an internal seller, right? They need to build their business case to get on the program, but they can nominate themselves, a partner can nominate on behalf of the client, and then, of course, as well as our field folks. So they can nominate themselves.
And are there a specific sweet spot workloads that you guys look for, or it doesn't matter as long as they're eventually going to consume anything in Azure?
Yeah, so I didn't go over that. The key workloads, what I call the IaaS foundational workloads, you know, data center migration, backup, typical sort of infrastructure pieces are the sweet spot. But quite frankly, across the Azure stack and across the specific services that we offer, the only ones that aren't available today that we're not staffed for is IoT specific services. And HPC, my high performance compute. But anything along the data stack, foundational, IaaS, PaaS, app services, containers, open source, whatever, we will cover that. So, and again, we really try to work through that, rehost, rebuild, refactor, re-architect components of what our customers are trying to do in moving to the cloud.
Hey, Alex, could you tell us some stories that you had working with a customer, what the journey looked like and what they were expecting in the beginning, what they got towards the end, and how they're using Azure right now?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. Typically, what ends up happening and where the, and this is actually good to note, our team is a remote resource, right? So we typically are like, I like to call it, we're a phone-a-friend group, right? We do rely still on a services arm, a partner, or Microsoft Consulting Services to actually do the work, right, for that client, or the client themselves can do that work. So I got a couple of healthcare customers where really two areas in the typical fashion that we work through is they've got some applications that they just really need to rehost onto Azure. Right, that's a fairly good chunk of work that we do, that we've done for our clients. Another is actually rehosting or moving some of their older operating systems, right, like Windows Server 2008 or SQL Server 2008, into Azure. So we work there. We've helped clients sort of fundamentally change or work through the architecture for either a data center move, as well as working through some application modernization work, right? So we've run the gamut there. And really, we just as an example, we're involved with, hope I can, we're involved with a big oil and gas company in Houston right now, right? They've signed a fairly large deal with us. So even though they've got a lot of resources attached, we're sort of the scale motion for the company as well, right, in terms of really helping accelerate some of those projects. And we're also going to be soon to be involved with some other large retailers in the U.S. to sort of help move those workloads there. So we can work with customers that have, you know, the other things that I didn't note there, they have to have a paid subscription, right? Doesn't matter how much they're spending. They don't need to have an enterprise agreement or a specific commitment with Microsoft, but they at least have to have a paid subscription. So they could be consuming $10 a month, and then we try to get them up to 60K a year. Again, that's sort of as long as we have line of sight there. We've had clients that are consuming 100K a month right now, right? And we're sort of helping them accelerate and moving that towards 150 to 200K, doubling their consumption, right? So we've got a gamut of examples that way.
And you guys offer some of the architectural oversight for some of these migrations, mm-hmm, or adoptions. Like, what kind of technical expertise do you bring to the table there, or your team, I should say?
Yeah, absolutely. So we can do one of two things, right? I just had this call last week about this. A customer has a architecture that they wanted to look to move an application into Azure. So we can basically provide best practice guidance. It says, okay, let me get an understanding of what services you're going to try to use. You know, what type of code are you going to do? What's your network? What's your infrastructure going to look like? We can take that architecture and actually provide guidance. Say, you know what, maybe you want to use XYZ, you know, function or service versus this, right? Okay, maybe from a VR or redundancy perspective, you may want to look at this, right? So we can wholeheartedly go deep in a customer's architecture. We typically don't start from scratch, right? In terms of, hey, I really don't know what to do, because at that point, it's we're going to need that partnership with the either a partner or MCS, but we can definitely provide some guidance in terms of, hey, look, if you're going to do this, let's at least, you guys need to look at XYZ, right, to sort of help manifest that workload into Azure. But the guys are very deep technically from an engineering perspective. Most of the PMs are like 100, 200 in terms of being able to help sort of scope the project that we're working on, and figure out what solutions fit, and then the PMs partner with specific engineers, right? Because we can't go deep in every part of the product, as you guys know, but we have specialties within each area, and we bring those guys in to really focus on where the needs are for that customer.
And what's the pattern that you're seeing, like, you know, with people adopting this? I know you mentioned some of them are just like the migration from on-premises to the cloud, but in terms of the mix of workloads, like, what do you see customers that use your service use? Do they use primarily IaaS? Do they use PaaS? Do they use hybrid, on-prem versus the cloud? Like, what are you seeing as the pattern here?
Yeah, so for sure, IaaS, data center migrations and a lift and shift is the number one workload, right, that we have. Second to that is looking at specific Azure data services, whether it be, haven't had too much work with Cosmos, right, but obviously SQL Managed Instance, some of the Data Lake and some of those other data features that we have. One thing I did forget to mention, we actually do work with SAP, so we do help with customers moving SAP into Azure, right? We actually have industry hires that are both deep in SAP as well as Azure. So that's a smaller part of our business, but that's definitely something that I wanted to call out here. It is definitely a standard. Hey, meeting the customer where they're at in their journey. There's some folks that are very well advanced or using some of the advanced analytics pieces, but it's straight IaaS, lift and shift, right? Sort of the rehost aspects of it. And then second and third really are sort of looking at, you know, structured data services, and then advanced analytics, and then, you know, looking at app dev. So that's I would say would be the bulk right now with IaaS and the data center stuff being probably 65% of our business.
That's great. And I mean, I know this might be a hard question or difficult, I guess, to feel, and feel free to duck it. But what would happen if you know, a customer was not able to achieve, or, you know, let's say the thing failed, like, you know, for lack of a better word, right? They tried it, whatever, couldn't meet the performance targets, or, you know, the architecture was proved to be incorrect or something like that. Are they on the hook for anything, or is it like, you know, how do we ensure that the customer gets some value out of the whole process, the whole program?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, so our job is to help our customers digitally transform and move the needle forward, right? So we do, process-wise, I don't want to get into it, but we have an, depending on who nominated the customer, let's just assume it's a field resource, it's Microsoft internal sales, we have a fairly diligent scoping call internally, right, and determine what the needs are. Then we'll bring the customer on board. So this is before we even approve it, right? So once you nominate, you're not automatically approved. So we do an internal scoping call. We do a customer scoping call, right? And then at that point, we try to really determine, you know, rate of success. Things are going to come through the crack. I haven't heard of, so let's, I'll answer this directly. There has not been an example to date that basically says, hey, the either the technical guidance or the process that we went through didn't work. We definitely have had clients that haven't accelerated as well, right? But, you know, those are things where we have, from a program perspective, based on the project, we can do weekly, you know, we do check-ins with the customer as well as the stakeholders that's surrounding that project to be sure everything's on track, right? And we want to try to get ahead of it. So things may not work out in terms of getting the consumption that we need, but the bottom line is, you know, at the time of the conversation, we know priorities can change, budgets can change. We understand that, right? But as long as there's that, you know, honest intent up front that they want to change and move to the cloud, I mean, we're gonna help. And it's not, so the customer's not on the hook for anything, right? We are an investment by the company to ensure that our clients are successful on moving to Microsoft Azure.
Good answer. Thank you. yeah, so Cynthia, do you have any questions for Alex? I don't want to monopolize the conversation.
I think I am all good.
Okay. Well, so Alex, I mean, I just have one more for you before we let you go. Is, you know, if I'm a customer, again, I don't want to be like too much of a sales-oriented discussion. We just don't like it on the Azure podcast that way. But I have to ask that, you know, if I'm a customer that, you know, has no connection with Microsoft, right? So we don't have a sales rep per se, or, you know, no connection with sales. I know we can self-nominate, but if how do they engage with the sales team to get that you know, sponsorship like you talked about, right? Just to increase their chances of getting a nomination to work with you guys. How do they get together with our sales team, our sales staff?
Yeah, that's probably the easiest. So. I used to be in sales coming to this group. So probably the best thing would be each of our customers. I mean, Microsoft doesn't sell our product directly to our corporate customers, right, regardless of the size. So the most ideal situation is that client knows who their LAR is, their large area reseller, right, that sold them their product. They had to have bought it through the channel somehow.
Right.
And basically, I would utilize the channel, have that customer utilize the channel to get connected with, you know, a Microsoft counterpart internally. And again, we manage based on sort of direct commercial side as well as our small, medium corporate customers, which is an inside sales motion. So I would probably guide my customers to go there first. Hey, find your LAR and work through, you know, that channel to get to figure out where the client would map from a managed perspective, and then hopefully we'll have that motion working much better with inside sales if they're not a large customer, right? Depending on spend, and then get them connected and helped out as soon as possible. So that would be sort of my initial guidance there. Yeah.
Awesome. That's very helpful. Thank you. Well, Alex, this has been a real eye opener for me. I know I heard briefly the term fast track, but didn't know what it was. So appreciate you explaining it for our listeners. And if you have any links, resources that you think the nomination website, etc., just send them over to me, and I'll put it on the show notes so that our listeners have that handy. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.